Good morning. The administration committee meeting will now begin. For the record, this is a virtual meeting and all board members and participants are by telephone. For the record, I will now take roll call. Board Member Morocco?
Present.
Board Member Adams?
Present.
Board Member Gordon?
Here.
Board Member Rasmussen?
Here.
Thank you. Board Member Ajmani is absent at today's meeting. Board members, at this time, we will ask for public comments on the agenda. Priority access will be given to the individuals who pre-registered, and these comments will be taken in turn. Each person will have 2 minutes for their public comment. There are three speakers. The first public comment is coming from Joseph Clift. Your line is live, and your time will begin now. Is Joseph Clift on the line?
Yes. Good morning. Yes. I want to make a comment overall about this committee. The law that was passed 2 years ago, I guess it is now, calls on this committee to be deeply involved in the budgeting process. And I literally don't see any of that. Senator Weinberg has commented on that. And you should have an email that Joy Suchek received this morning and passed out to all of you. And there's too much to cover in 2 minutes, but I want to cover the first and the last items on this. The first, New Jersey Transit Management is shorting New Jersey $669 million versus New York paying for Gateway Phase 1. My question is, why has New Jersey Transit Management agreed that New Jersey will pay $669 million more than New York for Gateway Phase 1? New Jersey Transit has agreed to pay for all of Portland North Bridge project. Local share is $819 million. They've also agreed that New York will only pay $150 million more on the Hudson Tunnel project, which is the second part of Gateway Phase 1, which is sometime in the future. You subtract those two numbers, New Jersey's paying $669 million more than New York. I have no idea why this is. It's not the law. The law says 50-50. I don't think New Jersey has $669 million rattling around. I'd like to know why New Jersey Transit Management has set up this deal. The simplest thing to do is to require New York to pay for half of the Portal North project, which would be half of $819. The last item on my list has to do with the state operating assistance for fiscal 21. From what I have seen, the February proposal from the governor was going to put $801 million in New Jersey Transit's pocket in state operating support. It's dropped to $319 million. That's a 60% drop. That's a huge drop. The problem is, in fiscal 22, you're going to have to increase from that $319 million up to $1.069 billion. All this information comes from the financial plan for the Hudson Tunnel project. I'm sure New Jersey Transit can provide it to you, but my concern is you'll be repeating the fiscal 10 and 11 situation where outside money in fiscal 10, it was stimulus money. Now it's CARES money, pays for so much that New Jersey's support of New Jersey Transit drops. The next year, there's not enough money there, and there ends up being a fare increase. In fiscal 10, in May, there was a 25% to 48% fare increase on the rail side. So my question is, is the state putting enough into fiscal 21? I think it should be more. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comment. The next speaker is Andy Weiss. Your line is live and your time will begin now. Andy Weiss.
Come right here. Thank you. Hello, board. I just have a comment about the buses, the bus situation. Thank you for talking about the hanging electric wires. That's very important. I don't mean to get on your case, but that's a really serious issue. That's been reported for years, by the way. This is not just a minor. This has been reported hundreds of times, probably, over the years. But the problem with the buses, the one-door cruiser buses, that were ordered by Michael Kilcoyne and Kevin Corbett. These are obsolete buses. I've done a lot of research on this. These buses have four steps. When you enter and exit, only one door. So when these buses are parked in the Port Authority ramp, they have a tremendous dwell time because there's only one door to exit and come in. And this compounds on the Port Authority ramp every day. It adds up. And these buses are stuck at a ramp, all these dozens of one-door cruiser buses. And you ordered more of them. There's no excuse. These buses have luggage compartments. Respectfully, there's no excuse for this. Michael Kilcoyne, I don't understand your decision-making. This is New Jersey. We need 60-foot articulated buses all over New Jersey, not one-door cruiser buses. We're not Greyhound. This is a serious procurement error. Respectfully, this is unacceptable. You did the same thing with the multi-level rails for the rail side. Anything with stairs, please, do not buy. They increase dwell times. Please take my advice. I've done a lot of research on this. NJ Transit has it. You cannot get equipment, mass transit equipment that has stairs. It just increases the dwell time. We need 60-foot articulated buses all over the system, multi-doors. No more one-door cruiser buses with stairs, please. And also, these buses have narrow aisles. They are terrible. People have to get off the bus and get back on when the aisle is filled with people. This bus needs to be retired permanently. Please, no more procurements. Please, board. Please, tell Michael Kilcoyne. Please.
For your comment. The next speaker is Alan Kratz. Your line is live and your time will begin now.
Good morning, board members. My name is Alan Kratz. I want to associate myself with Anthony Attanasio. In the prior meeting, I had hoped to speak then, and I certainly second his comments. As a former NJ Transit employee myself, I know we were in a hole for a long time, and it's taking a long time to dig out. I do want to comment talking about finances, and somebody made the comment about money running around. We talked about the CARES Act. I have a concern that we're using Transportation Trust Fund and other funds, scarce dollars, to demolish the records building in Hoboken. I noticed that demolition has begun this morning. This building that was judged to be too unsafe to enter to do a structural investigation that could have led to restoration, stabilization, and economic reuse. People are inside throwing things into the dumpster outside. And I regret that there's this use of public money, the $2.74 million, to demolish a building when, with proper stewardship, there could have been a viable program to get up to $5 million of grants that would not have used any New Jersey Transit money to return this building to good economic use in the community. So I guess the deed is done. I regret that this opportunity for creative thinking was not taken, and I hope that NJ Transit will be a better steward of its buildings and its money in the future. Thank you very much, board members.
Thank you. Board members, there are no further public comments. Next is the financial update. Jeff Bernstein.
Thank you and good morning. With this monthly report, we will continue with a slightly different format as we present pertinent details regarding COVID-19 related impacts beginning in March. Additional details not presented can be found in the appendix. A few notes before I begin. First, please note that the year-over-year comparison is fiscal year 21 over fiscal year 20, not fiscal year 19. The heading on the chart and the agenda is incorrect. Secondly, all budget figures mentioned in this report are preliminary and based on the state budget signed into law by the governor yesterday. These figures are also subject to final board approval expected at the October board meeting. Through the 2 months ending August 31st, 2020, New Jersey Transit's net loss from operations was $216.1 million, plus a $175 million CARES Act reimbursement, less a $3.7 million loss related to the timing of reimbursable project revenue. This compares to last year, where we reported a $1.9 million gain from operations and a $2.4 million loss due to the timing of reimbursable project revenue. In comparison, last month, we reported a $110.5 million net loss from operations. Compared to budget, net income from operations is favorable by $11.2 million, This includes favorable operating revenue of $1.6 million and expenses being favorable to budget by $9.6 million. Passenger revenue is 6.3% above budget, sorry, $6.3 million above budget, primarily due to bus revenue exceeding expectations. That being said, revenue across all modes is still experiencing steep and substantial declines compared to last year, which will be discussed in greater detail on the next slide. On the expense side, labor and fringe expenses are favorable by $6.5 million or 2.8%, and purchase transportation costs are $600,000 or 1.9% below budget. This variance is primarily due to decreases in access link service demand. Other expenses are favorable by $2.5 million or 2.7%. Costs associated with our COVID response, such as PPE and cleaning services, are reflected here. We're also seeing lower credit card fees than last year, primarily though due to the reduction in passenger revenue. Next slide further illustrates the revenue and ridership declines throughout the month of August. Declines in the total value of single day purchases at the end of August were 57% for bus and 77% for rail. Ridership was actually returning at a slightly higher rate on our bus service, with ridership now at approximately 50% of pre-COVID levels. This discrepancy is explained by the nature of the ridership return. Specifically, ridership on our intrastate routes have been returning at a faster rate than ridership on our New York and Philadelphia services. Intrastate riders typically pay a lower fare per ride on our than our interstate riders, and therefore the numbers are slightly split apart. Rail ridership is at 21% of pre-COVID levels, roughly tracking with revenue declines. As a note, bus operations resumed front door boarding effective Monday, August 3rd. This policy change has resulted in a sizable increase of bus related revenues. August 2020 monthly ticket sales were 76% and 90% below August 2019 sales for bus and rail, respectively. Our operating cash balance at August 31st, 2020 was $141.3 million, a $19.4 million decrease from July. On August 31st, 2020, we had no outstanding balance on the credit facility. Our corresponding long-term debt balance was $1.14 billion. The last slide illustrates the status of our CARES Act grant. We have drawn down $585.5 million thus far, representing 41% of our allocation. We billed and received $125 million during the month of August specifically. Thank you. That concludes my report.
Thank you. Board Member Morocco, any questions or comments?
No, thank you.
Board Member Adams, any questions or comments?
Yes, Joyce, and don't yell at me for going backwards, but I just want to comment about the, first of all, about the three speakers and then about the financial update, and I'll make it brief. I just want to thank Joe Cliff, Andy Weiss, and Alan Kratz for their comments. About Joe Cliff's email, we received an email from him today that had about six items that I'm hoping the administration can provide the board, the full board, with responses to. I'm particularly concerned about the fact that today is September 30th, 2020, and I, as a board member, have seen absolutely no information about the fiscal year 2021 budget. And if my memory serves me correct, according to the Governor Murphy's extension of the budget calendar year, tomorrow will be October 1st, and it's the start of fiscal year 2021. We have not seen a temporary budget nor a proposed permanent budget. So I'm unaware of how New Jersey Transit will carry on operations without an approved budget by the board. Andy Weiss's comments about the buses, I hope that we can give him an adequate response about not using, and I hope I say this correctly, cruiser buses and to go with the 60-foot articulated buses. I believe these transit advocates have done some research, and I would like to see the administration give them an adequate response. Mr. Kratz, I am not going to comment on what past board members or board actions have that led to the records building being in the condition that it is. I just know going forward, we're going to try as best we can to spend New Jersey Transit money appropriately and fiscally responsibly is in accordance with the demolition of that building. Mr. Bernstein, as far as your financial update, I expected to see something concerning the 2021 budget, even a preliminary budget, what the preliminary budget will be, a temporary budget, but I have not seen anything. So, Kevin, I'm not sure if you want to respond now or if we want to hold our response to after the other board members have had a chance to speak. Those are my only comments, Joyce.
Board Member Adams, I'll let Bill, actually we do report, but I'll let Bill go through what reports have been given from the board, for this fiscal year that led to that, and what board reports were given. Bill?
Thanks, Kevin. Board Member Adams, review this year's process for fiscal year 21 budget. You're correct, the state extended their fiscal year 21 by 3 months. As I think I've covered in the past, New Jersey Transit did not change its fiscal year 21. Our fiscal year actually started July 1st, as it normally would. And there were a variety of reasons for that, including our audit process and systems that would have made it impossible to extend the fiscal year. We reviewed with the admin committee meeting earlier this year, after the governor's budget address in February, the budget for fiscal year 21, based on the governor's budget address at that time. At the March board meeting, and prior to the March board meeting, we reviewed in detail fiscal year 21 budget, including details on mandatory cost increases, which include all our contractual increases, as well as planned discretionary initiatives related to the strategic plan. At the March board meeting, the board approved the transmittal of fiscal year 21 budget to the state legislature, among others. Subsequent to that, we have continued to essentially operate in a way that is consistent with all the initiatives that were reviewed in detail at the time, with a couple of major exceptions. We deferred all initiatives that were discretionary by 6 months, pending our understanding of our fiscal year 21 subsidy from the state, which was approved and signed into legislation only yesterday by the governor. And as I think you probably know, we have some meetings scheduled to discuss in detail where we are, and we intend to bring to the October board meeting for approval the fiscal year 21 budget. We also instituted a hiring freeze and stopped bringing people on board other than essential hires, also pending understanding farebox, recovery, state subsidy. And in the meantime, we've essentially used the CARES Act to cover the shortfalls in farebox and state subsidy. We also know and have reported on a monthly basis our financial results, and we've compared them in detail at the admin committee meetings to last year's results. We've reported on drawdowns of the CARES Act funds in detail at each of those admin committee meetings as well. So where we are right now, where you go from here is we have on the intended for the October board meeting, we will have a fiscal year 21 budget that will be essentially consistent with what was reviewed back in March, approved by the board for transmittal to the legislature, updated for COVID-related financial issues that have occurred since then, which are largely on the expense side, COVID-related expenses, and on the revenue side, the drop in farebox, the reduction in state subsidy, and the use of the CARES Act funds, and now CRF funds for fiscal year 21, all of which we will cover in detail.
So Kevin and Jeff, let me try to maybe restate that. So I'm assuming that based on what you said, that the board is going to get a briefing of the already established budget, and we will not have a working session giving the board an opportunity to have input into the budget.
The budget was already approved by the board earlier in this fiscal year. So we're operating on that budget, and it'll be updated in light of the state budget that was passed yesterday. So the adjustments will be, you know, you'll be briefed and be asked to vote on that after at the next board meeting.
Okay, that's just not what I expected. I actually expected to have a working meeting with the staff to go over this.
No, I think Board Member Adams, because of where you came in on the cycle of this year's cycle, this being an unusual year, the opportunity, I think, is looking at the FY22 budget when we start what is the normal cycle, is which will be in a few months. We'll be starting that cycle where the input both on the operating and capital, particularly now that we have a comprehensive five-year capital plan, that'll be for the, you know, the discussion for FY21 was done, you know, last fall, early spring that Bill just went through. It'll be the same process, but here the committee will be able to, particularly with the new board members, will be able to participate in that process as we build the FY22 budget and also the capital plan.
Okay, I understand, Kevin. I'm just letting it go on the record that I'm very, very disappointed with the process and the fact that the board has been excluded. You guys can send us an email at any time and wherever status you're in the board. So right now, we're going to be briefed on something that we're expected to vote on. I'm just telling you that I was expected to have a working session with staff to go over this adjustment to our approved budget as a working committee, but I'll leave that as it may.
Just for the record, just so there's no misunderstanding and no disrespect, Board Member Adams, just that this was presented and reviewed by the board, the budget that we're currently operating on. So it is not like this has been done without the board's participation. Which month you came on and where you were in the process of the current year, you know, that's, but in the briefing, as I say, monthly, Bill gives a briefing on that, you know, Jeff gives the briefings. So the participation in creating the budget and approving that budget, the current budget is, you know, it was already approved months ago by the board.
Okay. Joyce, just one last comment, and then I'll turn it over to my fellow board members. Okay. One of the transit rider advocates, Ryan Felmet, has been trying to get on to have public comment, and I don't know why he's not been allowed to comment. So can somebody check on that? And then that's the end of my comments.
Board Member Adams, Megan Umakoro did try to contact Ryan Film, and he did not respond to her.
Then that's the answer. Okay, thank you, Joyce.
Thank you. Board Member Gordon, any questions or comments?
Yes. You know, I'd like to continue this conversation about the role of the administration committee in the budget development. Just to remind everyone of what the law says, and I'm reading from the statute, the administration committee shall advise the board of directors on financial matters, including, but not limited to, proposed budgets, including the capital program, major expenditures of the corporation, and all financial policies. You know, I am prepared to say that, you know, given the timing of board appointments, the fact that many of us arrived late into the budget cycle, given the extraordinary nature of fiscal year 21, that, you know, I'm prepared to say, okay, you know, the timing was just not right for fiscal 21. We didn't have the kind of input that we need to have. But I would hope that as we start thinking about fiscal year 22, that we develop a process along the lines of what Board Member Adams is talking about, a process that gives each board member, and certainly the members of this committee, an opportunity to talk about priorities. What are the various options before us regarding major programs and the related budgetary decisions? And actually have a role in shaping the budget, not getting a briefing on what staff recommends, but actually have a conversation with staff on what are the options in this particular area? If we put more money here, where do we have to cut from? What are the budgetary options? I think that's the kind of conversation the law requires, and the one that I think we want to have and are prepared to have, and should be viewed as an opportunity to collaborate and work together with staff in improving this organization. So I would just ask staff to start thinking about how this process is going to be designed for fiscal year 22. Thank you.
Thank you. Board Member Rasmussen, any questions or comments?
Sorry about that. No questions, no comments. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Megan Umakoro, could you please tell me if Ryan Felma is on the line?
He did not call into the public speaker feed.
Board Member Adams, Ryan Felma is not on the public speaker line.
Okay, I'm not sure what happened. I just know I received an email from him saying that he signed up 2 days ago and that he was on the line. I don't know what line he was on. So if Megan made the attempt to reach out to him, I don't think there's anything else we can do.
Yes, and we did not have him registered at all. We did send the instructions out. The instructions were on the website, just so you're aware. Board members, that concludes the agenda for the administration committee meeting. You may disconnect your telephone. Thank you.
Thanks, Joyce.
Thank you all.
Thank you all.
Thanks, everyone.